Ches Ma'am Cheshvan, Thursday the 18th of October, Rabbi Mordechai Weiss. What is my individual purpose in life? In half an hour.
First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers again for giving me the opportunity to share with you to be part of this wonderful organization of the Torah Way. Someone asked me at the beginning of the week what's going to be the topic, what I'm going to talk about. He says, he saw in the title under my name, it said, it's going to be about Inyon HaDiyoyme. So he looked, he was trying to think what Inyon HaDiyoyme could be on this date. So the only thing he came up with is, it's the Yahrzeit of Mr. Shelach. So I thought that perhaps maybe I could speak about that. But I decided I'm not going to talk about that for two reasons. First of all, because it's not his Yahrzeit today, it's only on Shabbos, it's Yidal Cheshvan. And number two, because I don't really know much of his life, about his life, besides for the fact that he lived 969 years, I think. So I think I will talk about Inyon HaDiyoyme, but it's not necessarily got to do only with today. I think it's relevant for every single person, for every single day of his life, and every single moment of the day. And I've already mentioned before, the topic is, what is my individual purpose in life? And like many people have already asked, that, how is that possible in half an hour? I don't think I'll be able to cover this whole thing, but at least give some clues and some points where everyone perhaps will be able to find their purpose in life. This week's parasha starts off where Avraham Avinu says, the Rambam tells Avraham Avinu, one of the ten esyonos, Lech lechu ma'artzechu im imeladetuch mevaisavichu el ha'oretz asher areku. Now there's a number of questions, I'm not going to talk too long about them because it's not going to take up too much time, but there's a few obvious ones which Rashi already mentions. Is number one, what's the lashon lech lecho? You should go to yourself from yeshiva. You should go, but when you should go to yourself. So Rashi, the famous Rashi says that lahana ostcho v'letiv ostcho, that if you're going to follow my advice and you're going to go, then it's going to be for your benefit. That's question number one. Question number two, Rashi asks, is why does it say where you have to leave? You have to go away. I mean, imagine if you tell someone who lives here in London, you tell him, I want you to go away from London to Eretz Yisrael. Well, obviously, if he is standing in London and you're telling him to go to Eretz Yisrael, then where is he going to be going from? From London, obviously. So if he is in Milada Tuchum Mevay Savichu, so why does he have to tell him, go away from Milada Tuchum Mevay Savichu? So that's another question which Rashi also brings up. And then the third question Rashi brings up is, he didn't tell him where to go. He just told him, Eretz Asheret. Why didn't you say clearly? He should want you to go to Eretz Kana. So the famous Rashi says that the reason why I didn't tell him clearly was because to give him more scha, which that probably would answer the second question also, because the Mefarshim explained, and the Mizrahi explains, that for the fact that he specified, I want you to go away, he made it more difficult for him to leave his hometown and his home country and his parents' home, and therefore that will be for his benefit, because he will be getting more scha when he's going to follow the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's tzivi. I'd like to perhaps say a slightly different approach, which would perhaps also answer some of these questions. We all know that Ma'asai Ovis Simen Labonim, which means that everything that happened to our forefathers, to the Ovis HaGdoshim, is relevant and applies to every single Yid and Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. So we have to, that's part of our job, to really understand what went on to Avraham Avinu, and then to know how we could personally benefit from this, from what happened to them. So we know, this is something which we don't have to say, but every person, it's an obvious thing, that every single Yid that is born on this world was born for a reason and was born for a tachlis. There's not a single soul that was born for nothing. If Hashem, if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam created, the master of the world created the Yid, then obviously there has to be a very, very good reason why he came down on this world. He has his mission that he has to accomplish on this world. And as the Sfurim HaKadoshim explain, that the mission that this person has to accomplish on this world, there's no other neshome from the beginning of Sheishis and Mabirashis till the end of the world which will be able to do the mission that he could accomplish. He is the only one. He's the only person that could do that, and no one else, including even the Abbas HaKadosh, even Moshe Rabbeinu, couldn't do the mission that he had to approach. Now, the right to that is the you know, it has to be that way, because otherwise why did Hashem have to create me? If it wasn't necessary for me to be on this world, then he wouldn't have had to create me. So obviously a person doesn't create something for nothing. So if he created me, there has to be a very, very good reason for it. There is something that we could accomplish and no one else in the world could accomplish. And as I noticed on the Torah Way thing, the theme of Torah Way this week was the Pasuk in this week's parasha. It says, Habetno Hashemaimo V'sfoir ha'kichove, koi yezerachu, that the Yidden are like, equivalent to the stars, they're like the stars in the sky. But there's a famous Rambam, the Rambam says that he had an argument with a philosopher, with the Chachma, with the Goyim, with the Goyshe, people from the Goyshe people, that they claimed that they've studied the stars, astronomy, and they came up that although some of the stars are very, very important and the world needs it, it adds some energy and some light and some whatever, some oxygen to the world, but they came to the conclusion that there are some stars which are not really necessary. There's no reason why it was created. And the Rambam says that he argued with them and he said that cannot be true. And the Raya is because we have a Beferish Apostle in Tehillim, it says, we say it every single day by davening, that the Rebbeinu Shloim is Moine Mispa Lakechuvim. The Rebbeinu Shloim counts all the stars. A person does not count something which is not necessary, something which is evident, something which is not relevant, but something we don't need, you don't count. So if the Rebbeinu Shloim counts every single star, that means that every single one of these millions and trillions of stars that there are in the universe, every single one of them has some benefit, and they help out in some way or another, they help out the world. So the Sfurim HaKadoshim say, the Bnei Chaim of Tzan says that clearly, that kol shkem v'kal v'choyme, that when it comes to Klal Yisrael, the Rebbeinu Shloim is also Moine Mispa, just like it's Moine Mispa like Yechovim, then the Rebbeinu Shloim counts Klal Yisrael also, and that's why it says this week's Parsha, v'sfeirak Yechovim, koi yezarecho, your kids will be like the stars. So if every single star is necessary, then obviously every single Yid in Klal Yisrael is also necessary. So this is where the million-dollar question arises. So if it is true that I have my own individual purpose in life, then what is it? What is my individual purpose in life? Which brings us even to the next question. It's a question that probably every single person has asked at some point throughout his life. And even if he hasn't asked it with his mouth, he definitely felt this question in his heart. It's a question which every person probably comes up at some point or another. And then another question, which is that if it's true that we were created with our individual purpose, individual mission, then why wasn't every baby born with a little note hanging off his neck to say that, you know, this is what you have to do throughout? And more than that, how could you expect someone to accomplish a mission when you don't tell him what this mission is? You don't tell him what he has to do. So how on earth should he know what it is that he has to do throughout his life? So although we haven't got any DVM nowadays which could tell each person exactly what he has to do, but we do find in the Surim a few tips and a few clues which could help out every person to know what is it that he has to do or accomplish in this life. The first tip that we find in the Surim, the Sefer Aramaya brings it down, is, I would explain it with a mushal, that there was once a king a king that called in five of his kids who were very, very talented, and he wanted to give them a job that they have to do. And he says, I want all five of you together to build me a palace. I want you to build me a palace, a beautiful palace. And obviously I want every single one of you to do a different part. So one person is going to be the architect, the other person is going to be the builder who's going to do the actual building, someone is going to be the organizer that's going to make sure everything runs the way it has to do, and someone is going to be in charge of the furniture, someone's going to be in charge of planting the garden. Every single person is going to have a different job in building this palace. Now, to make this thing more exciting, I'm not going to tell you exactly what your job is going to be, but what I will do is, I will give each of you your set of tools that you're going to have to use to build this palace, and someone has a little bit of seichel in his head will be able to have straight away what it is that he has to do. So for one person, he gives a tractor, and he gives him, you know, some things and some building materials. The other person, he gives, I guess, a pen and paper and some rulers and some things to be able to make his planning. The other one, he gives some gardening tools. Another one, he gives some furniture, some woods and things. Now, it doesn't take too much, you know, for the kids to realize what it is that they have to do. You know, the person who got the gardening tools knows that his job is not to be an architect. And the person who got the pen and paper and ruler knows that his job is not to be the gardener. So this is thing number one, that every single person was born with a talent. Every single person has a talent, and therefore, since we got this talent, and we know that we did not get the talent for no reason, so we know that this is our tool, so therefore we have to make sure to use it, and by seeing the tools, we have to realize and notice what it is that our mission is to accomplish. Now, when we mention this thing, many people complain or say that I think that I haven't got any specific talent, I'm nothing major, I have no, you know, there's people who obviously have very, very big talents, but I don't see myself being special in any which way. Well, that, first of all, is a mistake, because obviously there has to be something that everyone has is unique, that's something that every person has that other people have not got. Now, although there are some talents which are very noticeable and everyone could see it straight away, someone that's born a genius, or some person who has a talent of writing, or someone has a talent of speaking, or someone has a talent of singing. These things are maybe more noticeable than others. But at the same time, there are many, many, many talents which are just as important, which are not so noticeable to everyone. Let's say, I'll give you a couple of examples. There are people that are very, very, very good listeners. They could listen. Now, when other people, they feel they have a listening ear, they could listen out to people, and people talk to them, people feel that they are being listened to, and they're being... It's an unbelievable talent. It's something which not everyone has. Even very talented people don't always have this talent of being good listeners. People have a talent of giving a smile to a friend. People have just a very... They give other people a smile and they're able to warm other people's hearts just by simply looking at them. Other people are very good at giving compliments to other people. Other people are very emotional and they're very, you know, they get to, when it comes to davening, they cry out their heart to them. Davening is also an unbelievable talent. So people are very, very sociable. Other people are very happy, have a very happy disposition. They're always happy. It's all these things. Other people are very easygoing. People are very sensitive to other people. People have management skills. The list goes on and on and on and on. Every single person could find, at least in one way, that they have something which other people haven't got. And it has to be this way. Now, this does not solve the entire problem for two reasons. First of all, because, as we're going to say soon, but first, before I come to that, the reason why people don't always notice this thing is people are constantly trying to copy other people. They're constantly trying to be like other people, and they look at other people's talents, and they try to apply it to their own life, which is something which is just a disaster, because you are not born to be someone else, you were born to be yourself. If people would stop focusing on other people, and other people could mean even their own parents, even their own friends, and their own mentors, their own rabbis, people have to be original. They have to try and find, look out for my own talent. What is it that I have that other people have not got? What is my unique talent? And if people would stop looking at other people, I mean, of course you have to look at other people, but to try and be yourself rather than being someone else, then it will be a lot easier for people to notice their own individual talent that they have. And the famous verse of the Rebbe Reb Zisha, of Anipali, one of the great Hasidic sages, he said that when he's going to come up in the world to come, then they're not going to punish him why he wasn't a Romavini, why he wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu, why he wasn't someone like his brother, Rebbe the Melech of the Gents. They're going to punish him is, why were you not Zisha? You were born to be Zisha, and why did you not grow up to be the full Zisha, the full potential that this Zisha could have become? And this is what every single person has to notice. Now, the problem is that very, very often, some talents are hidden, and the people don't even realize, and they don't even know that they have this talent, until something comes up, which they suddenly find out that they have this talent. So you can't always expect every single person to know his talent. Very often it may be hidden inside them. And then the second problem with this thing is that even people who do know what their talents are, they don't always know how to use it. How am I able to use my talent? So let's say, for example, someone who knows that he could sing very nicely. So he has the talent of singing and davening for a moment. Does that mean that he has to go to every single shul and then tap the gabon and tell him, please let me daven for a moment? Obviously that can't be the right approach. So here we have to come on to the next step, which I think will be even more relevant and even more helpful to every single one of us. And then before we're going to say this thing, I'd like to mention another two mistakes that people have in this thing, and then I'm going to come up to this part. Another very important mistake that people have in this thing is that people think that their mission in life has to be to change the world. They have to do something, a very drastic thing, which is going to, everyone's going to talk about it. It's going to benefit, every single Yidin Klavisel is going to benefit from it. It's going to be something which is going to be a very, very drastic thing. That's one thing which people think. And then the second thing that the people think is that they were only born with one mission in their life. They have one mission that they have to accomplish in their life. It's like they got a project and they have the deadline, 120 years, that's the deadline. Until that moment, they have to make sure to do this mission. But they've got basically only one thing that they have to do. And they have to go around waiting and looking for when is it going to be that I'm going to do my mission in life, because, you know, they're waiting for this big day when these two things are both very, very big mistakes, and they are definitely not true. Number one, we haven't just got one mission in life. We have a new mission every single second and every single moment of our lives. We have a new mission which applies to this second. The famous Riyakudish says that every single mitzvah, for example, when a person has to shake the Dalet Minim on Sikkis, so this Dalet Minim has been waiting from the beginning of Briyas Olam for Mr. So-and-so, for Mr. Shalom or Mr. Mordechai to come along in the year 2018. It has to be dafka on that specific day, and that specific moment, and that specific place, surrounded with this environment that he's surrounded with all these nisyonos and all these problems that he has on his head. That is the exact moment that he could accomplish this mitzvah of Dalet Minim, and no other person could accomplish that, and in no other place could he accomplish that, and in no other time could he accomplish that, and under no other circumstances. It has to be exactly at that moment, and that day, and that time. That's the only time when he could accomplish that. Having taken that into consideration, then, it's not you have only one mission. Every single moment you have a new mission in your life, and the mission is only specifically for you. And then, having said that, then the mission does not have to be something which is going to change the entire world. It can be something which, in your eyes, is seemingly insignificant, but in truth, it is very, very significant. It can be something like as simple as giving a smile to a friend, something as simple as giving a compliment to a friend, something as simple as helping out in your home, helping your wife, helping your kids, showing an example to your kids, learning with your kids, or doing any type of chesed that you do with other people, with your friends and with other people. If people are going to start opening their eyes, they're going to see how every single moment is a new opportunity for the person to do something. It could be something small, learning a pasuk in Chumash, learning to sing a pasuk in Tehillim. Every single moment there is something which the person could do. But the problem is that how does the person know what is my mission to do the second? It's not completely helped out, because, you know, if you look out, how could a person know exactly what it is that I have to do at this moment and this time? The Ribbono Shel Olam, this is the answer. The Ribbono Shel Olam created and gave every single person a built-in GPS system. A built-in GPS system which tells him every single moment of his life exactly what it is that he has to do in this moment. It's a built-in system. And this thing is called the Neshome. And this is a Pusik in Tehillim that says, I don't think it's in Tehillim, maybe it's in Novi, Nishmas Shachat Vinayni, which means that the Neshome of a person, he gives me the knowledge. He tells the person every single moment of the day, every single moment of the week, every single moment of the year, and every single moment of his life, what it is that he has to do at this specific moment. The pasuk Nishmas Shakai Tavineni. Nishmas Shakai, the Neshama of the Ribbono Shel Olam Tavineni. This is what's going to give me Havana. It's going to help me out. Now, the problem is that many people, when we say this thing, say that they never heard this little voice within them. They never heard this little voice which tells them what to do. How could it be that they don't hear this little voice? And the answer to that is two reasons. Number one, especially which is relevant in this day and age, people, it is probably most the time of the day they spend thinking and living in other people's lives. But today is day and age with the technology. People know everything exactly what goes on in the world, all the news and everything. So almost most hours of the day he's busy seeing and living with other people's lives, what's going on in this country, in that country, in this person, and that person. So they hardly give themselves a moment to think about their own life. So obviously, how do you expect to listen and to hear this little GPS which is giving you signals when you're so busy putting in the maps of different countries, when you don't have that, you're now in London and you're not in a different country? That is number one. And number two, even the people who do actually think about their own lives, someone made a survey and they came out that over 99.9% of the people in the world do not live in the present. do not live in the moment. The mind is constantly either thinking about the future, worrying about the future, thinking what to do in the future, or the busy thinking about the past, all the past mistakes that they did, all the past things that they shouldn't have done, that they should have done, all past things that happened in the past. Very, very, very few people are that actually concentrate and live in the moment. And which is that obviously would be another reason why you can't hear this little signal, because if you're thinking about the future or thinking about your past, the GPS only works, it's an in the moment system which tells you in the moment exactly what you have to do in the moment. But that's only when the person manages to silence his mind and take away all those thoughts of the future worries and all the thoughts of the past mistakes that he did and concentrates in the present, then he would be able to hear this little GPS system. He would begin getting a feeling, what it is that I have to do at this moment and this time. What is my mission that I could accomplish at this specific moment? And if the person does that, then he will see that even those, he never knew what talents he has. But if he follows this little GPS every single moment, doing what he has to do in the moment, then the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to bring up the opportunities that even those hidden talents within him that he never knew existed are all of a sudden going to be able to come out. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to make something happen that he's going to have to bring out this talent, and all of a sudden he's going to be able to actually use up the talents that he has. So people who never knew they had certain talents will all of a sudden find out that they have certain talents. And people who do know what the talents are, but never knew how to use them, then all of a sudden opportunities are going to arise that he's going to be able to know and see what it is and how it is that I can actually use my specific talent. This is the thing, and even though it seems like my mission from this moment, my mission from that moment, have nothing connected. You know, here it is that I said a Pasuk of Tehillim, the next moment I'm helping out something else. I don't see the connection between the two things. But I like seeing it as, like, when I was a child, there was something called the dot-to-dot pictures. You know, that you have numbers and you have to make a line from number 1 to number 2 and then from number 2 to number 3. And when you did each number, you connected each number, it didn't seem like it had any relevance, any importance. All of a sudden, after you finished the entire picture, a beautiful picture came out, and all of a sudden you saw that everything was connected, it was all one big mission. So even though every single moment seems like a new mission and a new tafkid, but all of a sudden, after 120 years, the person is going to come up and is going to see a beautiful picture which he himself made and created throughout his lifetime. Famous story of the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim said as follows. There was once a German doctor. He was a very ehrlicher person. He lived in Germany, he was brought up in Germany, he used to go to university. And once he decided that he's going to take a tour of all the yeshivas in Lithuania, so he went around to Kovno, to Slobodka, to the Mir, to Brisk, to all these different yeshivas. And one of the stops, he came into the city Radin. That's where the famous Chofetz Chaim lived. And he comes into, every single yeshiva comes into, he sees that they're full of Bukhrim learning Torah, with mamish, with a smoother, and this big Tamid HaChachomim, and he looks through these big, you know, forum shelves filled up with Surim, and he said, he was so broken hearted, he came over to the Chofetz Chaim afterwards, and he said, until now, I thought that I was a chushev person, you know, at the end of the day, in my hometown, I tried to do the best I could, I tried doing the mitzvahs as most as I could, and I was sure that when I'm going to come up to Gan Eden, then they're going to give me mizrach, you know, they're going to give me covered, because all of a sudden, I come into these towns and see these young Bukhrim sitting and learning Torah, and I don't even begin to understand the surah that they are learning. I can't even begin to grasp them. So now I know who's really going to get the Mizrach in the world to come. I feel like absolute nothing. Chofetz Chaim said, let me ask you a question. He says, do you obviously think that when it comes to the world to come, I will be sitting a Mizrach closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam than yourself? He said, well, of course you will. So let me tell you something. It says that the Usiv Lova Mashiach is going to come. Usiv HaKudosh Baruch Hu Lasis Mucho La Tzadikim. He's going to make a ring. They're all going to dance around in the ring. And they're all going to point to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They're all going to say, Zeh Hashem Kivini Loiv. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam. What is the significance of a ring? What does a ring mean? What is a ring? A ring means that every single person who dances around in the circle is within equal distance to the person standing in the center. Every single person is within equal distance. It says the Ribbono Shel Olam, when he created the person, doesn't make a difference if he created them in Lithuania in Radin, or whether he created them in Bnei Brak in Rechov Chazanish, or whether he created him in Hengen in Hamstead, or whether he created him in Germany in Berlin. It doesn't make a difference. Whichever country he was created, whichever family he was created, we all start off at the same starting point. We all are within equal distance of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and our tafkid and our mission the throughout our life is to come closer and closer and closer to the center. And we are each person in his individual situation that the Ribbono Shel Olam planted him in, and he has to use up his opportunities and his talents and his environment that he is in to make a Kiddush Hashem, to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim in his place. And if you are going to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim in your university in Berlin, then you are going to get equal schar as me sitting here in Adi, because I was brought up in a different environment, in a different family, in a different town. So obviously, the Ribbono Shel Olam expects me to do different things than he expects from you. The Ribbono Shel Olam expects every single person in the place where he was planted to do the best that he could to come towards the center of the circle. Coming back to our question that we asked before, how is it, if it's true that every person has a mission in life, then why wasn't each person created with a little note saying what his mission in life is? The answer is, he was created with a little note. Now, obviously, just like someone understands, it doesn't make any sense for people to print out from Google all the maps that he's going to need within his entire life, wherever he's going to be traveling throughout his life, he's going to print out all the maps in advance, all the maps of to know all the directions we have to go, take a life, take a left, take a right. It's not going to make any sense. It makes so much more sense just to take a little GPS system and take it along with you wherever you go, and this GPS will show you exactly what you have to do and where you have to go. The same thing when it comes to a person's life. It doesn't make any sense to write on a piece of paper, I want you to do this. Could be very well if the person would only have one mission in his life, then it makes sense to do that. But he has so many missions. Every single moment he has a new mission. So the Ribbono Shel Olam planted this beautiful GPS system in every single person, and this system tells the person, for those who listen to it and those who know how to use the GPS system, then it tells them and it shows them exactly what they have to do throughout their life. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells the Ramavini, Lech Lecho Me'Artzecho, he sends him on a special mission. And this mission, like we said before, does not just apply to Ramavini. It applies to every single Yid. The Ribbono Shel Olam sends every single Yid out on a mission. And he's going to give him some practical advice. The first thing advice that he tells him is, Lech Lecho. You should go to yourself, which means be yourself, be original. Don't try and copy other people. Try and be your own. Try and look out for your own talents and for your own malice that you have. And then he says, what is the starting point that I want you to start from? I don't expect someone who was born in Hampstead or Hendon or Bowling Green to start off from the same starting point as Reb Chaim Kanievsky and Bnei Brak in Rechov Chazanish. You were created and you were born in a different environment. Lech Lecho, from where? Me'artzecho. From the country which you were born, that is the starting point. You were born in England, you were born in Japan, you were born in China, it doesn't make a difference. Whichever country you were born, that is the starting point where I want you to go out on your mission from. Every person is born with different talents. I want you to use those talents that you were born with. Meladatcho means the talents that you were born with. I want you to use those talents, not other people's talents. I want you to use your own talents. Meladatcho. From the home, from the type of home that you were brought up in. Every person was brought up in a different home, with a different chinuch system, with a different... And according to that family that you were brought up with, use that opportunity to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim and to do your tafkid and to go out on your mission. And now, how is it that the person is going to know where to go? How do you use the way system, this navigator, this GPS system? Torah says, Lech Lechu. Lech Lechu means you should go. What does it mean? What's the difference between someone who is constantly going and someone who is standing in one place? I remember once seeing one of those sayings in English. He said, don't judge another person until you've walked a mile in their shoes, because then you're a mile away and you have their shoes. So what I took out from this saying is that when a person walks, he is not on the same place that he was a few minutes ago, which means as follows. Which means that if he's walking, he is not in the place where he was in the past, and he's not in the place where he's going to be in the future. He's constantly moving. He's in one place. He is in the place where he is in the present. Whereas someone who's standing in one place and is not moving, then he is on the same place as he was in the past, and he is on the same place where he's going to be in the future. The Torah used the analogy of Lech. Lech means go. What's the Ribbono Shel Olam trying to hint to us? Be on the go, which means live in the present. Don't live in the past, don't live in the future. Live in the present, and if you live in the present, you are going to be able to see this navigator system. And then he says another thing. He says Lech Lechu. What does it mean Lech Lechu? Lech Lechu means live in your own life. Don't be so busy constantly with living in other people's lives. I want you to live in your own life and concentrate on your own mission, and then you will be able to hear the signals from this GPS system. And now what is it that I have to do? Where is my mission? On that the Pusik concludes and says, El Hu'uretz Asher Areku. I am going to show you, don't you worry, I am going to show you, and I built in the signal within you, which is going to show you exactly step by step, every single step, and every single moment of your life, what it is that you have to do. Ad Uretz Asher Areku. You don't have to know anything, you don't have to know in advance exactly where the final stop is. You just follow the signals, follow the GPS, and you will get there in the end. And if you do that, then Rashi concludes, Lech lechu, it will be lahanu aschu, evelitiv aschu, and like the Pusik of the Meder says in Tehillim, v'yodchu tanchayni, you carry me, Rabbeinu Shalom, you run my life, v'achar, and afterwards, kovet tikuchayni, I will get kovet, and I will get many, many toive. Should Rabbeinu Shalom help, we should all be zoiche to know what our mission in life is, and to accomplish our mission the way we have to. We should all be zoiche to arichas yom v'shonim, and to the B.S. girl, tzedek v'mahayru v'yemayni. Amen.